KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 65 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 80. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Middle school students from the Hamburg Community School District will be hard at work this fall, building a new home for a family impacted by this year's Missouri River flooding. Hamburg Superintendent Mike Wells says the project involves students building a house in a donated lot across from the Marnie Simmons or Simons Elementary School.
We ran an ad in the newspaper and people applied for the house, and these kids will be serving on the selection committee. They'll be interviewing the family. The house is going to be built totally through donations. We have a lot of faith that we'll be able to raise that much money. And we've had some sponsors step forward that are going to donate things to us. So these kids want to make a difference, and we're excited to get the house started here this month.
While middle school students would handle most of the work, Wells says jobs would also be available for elementary school students. He says students are already learning some building trades skills as part of the district's makerspace activities, and that building a house will allow students to gain more skills.
We want the kids to actually do the work. Adults will be there. We'll be working side by side, making sure everything is done properly. Of course, we'd like a house that's fairly straight and a roof that doesn't leak. So the only way we can do that is there's experts that can do that.
And he said the donations for flood victims are collected and handed out at the school gym. Eighth grader Haley Barrett says that's made an impact on them, and she's really looking forward to helping build the house.
Just watching the families go in and having to take stuff because they don't have anything, this thing is a big deal because we want to give back what they lost.
Haley's sister, eighth grader Emma Barrett, says the housing project means a lot to not only the school district, but to her family as well.
I also have people in my family who have lost their houses, so just even having a house for people to live in, like, have that happiness of, like, I can start my life again. It's really great.
Superintendent Wells says the 1,300 square foot ranch style home will be a 3-bedroom with a garage, kitchen, and dining room. Once the application process is finished and the student interview committee makes its selection, the home is set to sell to the selected family for $60,000, payable over a 20-year period. Wells said the funds will be used to build another home in the future as the school hopes to make the housing project an annual event. The current timeline of the project calls for basement digging to begin in early August, with the home finished by late December. Wells says the school district will gladly accept donations for the project, and the $2,000 in cash has already been raised. The Creston Police Department reports 4 arrests and 1 incident of vandalism. Authorities say 2 people were arrested Friday. 48-year-old John Pace Jr. of Creston was arrested for driving while barred, and he was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. And 60-year-old Terry Adamson of Creston was arrested outside of her residence for OWI first offense. Adamson was released from the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. 2 Creston residents were arrested Saturday. 38-year-old Timothy Hudek was arrested at his home on a Madison County warrant for violating a no-contact or protective order. Contempt of court, he was transferred to the custody of Madison County. And 29-year-old Alex Cunningham was arrested Saturday for driving while revoked. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. Creston police said also a Creston woman residing in the 1100 block of West Mill Street reported Saturday that sometime overnight Friday into early Saturday morning, someone slashed her rear driver's side tire and took a large amount of gift cards and wallet from inside the vehicle. The damage and loss was estimated at $825. And elsewhere in news across the state, authorities have identified a man believed to have drowned while swimming at the Palisades Kepler State Park near Mount Vernon in eastern Iowa. Linn County Sheriff's Office identified him as 31-year-old Gerald Mejia Jimenez of Cedar Rapids. The search began Saturday night after it was reported that a man swimming near the dam went under and didn't resurface. The search continued Sunday along the Cedar River. 26-year-old Des Moines man has died after he tried to jump aboard a train. The Des Moines Register says that Des Moines police say Ian Pfeiffer tried to jump aboard the train early Saturday. Police Sergeant Paul Parizic said Pfeiffer was dragged about 60 feet by the train after he tried to jump aboard. Parizic said Pfeiffer had told friends he planned to jump on the train before the incident. At least 4 children have died in the past 18 months at daycare centers that had been warned about caring for too many children. The Des Moines Register reports that criminal charges have been filed in 2 of the deaths, and prosecutors are considering charges in a 3rd case. Often state or local officials know about providers that are caring for too many children, but don't tell prosecutors or take other action to stop them. The state has 4,300 regulated daycare centers, but home daycares are not regulated. Another defendant has taken a plea in the slaying of a 26-year-old man in southeast Iowa. The Hawkeye newspaper reports that Andre Harris pleaded guilty to conspiracy and other charges Friday. His deal calls for him to testify against the three remaining defendants. Five men were charged with killing DeMarcus Peanut Chu on September 10, 2017, outside of his mother's apartment in Burlington. One of the five, Antoine Spann, took a deal and was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He, too, must testify against the three remaining defendants, Caesar Davison, Derek Parker, and Emmanuel Spann. Harris is scheduled to be sentenced on August 26th. Some veterans are complaining about a new, more restrictive policy regarding smoking at the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has required at the Iowa home to implement VA policy limiting where residents can smoke. The VA provides a substantial amount of funding for the Iowa facility for facility construction and maintenance, residents' care, and other activities. The hospital commandant, Dimon Ujiri, says the policy is aimed at the safety of residents who smoke, as well as the safety of staffers and other residents. State Representative Mark Smith is a longtime volunteer at the hospital, and he's received several calls from World War II and Vietnam veterans who do not agree with the new policy. A traffic note for you. I was just informed that Medevac is dispatched on Highway 6, just past the intersection with Highway 71, where a biker fell and is bleeding from the head. We have no other details at this point in time. Again, that's Highway 6, just past Highway 71, so that would be here in Atlantic, out by the Walmart, or actually by the east of there, probably by the intersection with the church. And again, be very careful if you're planning on driving on Highway 6 this morning as they head the bikers from Ragbri head through Wyota, Anita, and on up into the Adair and Casey areas and over to beyond that on their way to Winterset. Well, in other news, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is defending his Medicare for All plan as some competitors for the Democratic Party's 2020 presidential nomination warn about embracing the proposal that could doom the party's prospects next year.
Those candidates who run on that program, who have the guts to take on the drug companies and the insurance companies, will win and win big.
Sanders was the first of three candidates to speak Saturday at a forum in Council Bluffs sponsored by the AARP and Des Moines Register. He repeated his accusation against former Vice President Joe Biden that Biden has been distorting the tenets of Medicare for All plan that Sanders has authored.
Joe talked about a hiatus. In other words, if you have a serious illness, as we transition to Medicare for All, there may be a hiatus. That is absolutely wrong. Of course, there will be a continuity of care.
Sanders envisions enrolling Americans by age group, first having everyone over the age of 55 be covered by Medicare until all Americans are covered by a government-paid plan from birth to death. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg says that he supports letting Americans buy into the Medicare system, a so-called public option. Buttigieg calls it Medicare for all who want it and argues that it'll be cheaper than private insurance.
It's also one last dare, though, to the corporate world to come up with something better than they have. If they do, great. I'm not counting on it. And so I think what will happen over time is that this will become a very natural glide path toward a Medicare for all environment. Not by flipping a switch and banishing the private sector, but just by putting something better on the table and letting people figure it out for themselves.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock, the other candidate who addressed AARP members on Saturday afternoon, says forcing millions of Americans to give up their private insurance isn't the answer.
So many of them like it. Sometimes you don't like either the costs or the deductibles. We can work on that without disrupting the entire system.
Bullock supports adding a public option to Medicare, letting Americans under the age of 65 buy into the system. 17 presidential candidates appeared at five forums this past week, adding issues of interest to seniors and offering ideas for reducing prescription drug costs. Many expressed support for legalizing marijuana for medical use. On Saturday, Buttigieg said he supports legalizing marijuana for medical and recreational use.
I don't recommend smoking anything, but not only are there important medical uses, but we've just hit the point as a country where there are a lot of offenses, including, I think, a lot of nonviolent drug offenses, where the way we responded to it, the incarceration, is actually doing more harm to society.
Bullock, as the mayor of Montana, recently approved tweaks to his state's medical marijuana program.
It goes to individuals in need, and it makes a meaningful difference. But you always have the barriers at the federal level, both the scheduling of it as a drug and the difficult of banking any of the dollars being medical or recreational.
Right.
So I think the federal government should get out of the way and this is a state-by-state decision.
Sanders, the first candidate to speak Saturday in Council Bluffs, has long supported legalization of marijuana as part of his criminal justice reform agenda. And finally, in state news, a businessman who made his debut on Iowa's political stage nearly a year ago has made the idea of a universal basic income the centerpiece of his campaign. Olive Gardner reports.
I'm Andrew Yang. I'm running for president as a Democrat.
This is from last year's Iowa State Fair.
$1,000 for all.
Yang calls that the freedom dividend. He'd pay Americans $1,000 per month, a universal basic income. Yang, who once worked as a corporate lawyer, started an education-related company, sold it, and then started a nonprofit to encourage entrepreneurs. As a presidential candidate, Yang warns automation will lead to economic upheaval.
What happened to the manufacturing workers is about to happen to the retail workers, the call center workers, the fast food workers, and the truck drivers right here in Iowa.
Yang has an extensive set of proposals on his campaign website, like his legion of builders and destroyers, government crews to rebuild the nation's infrastructure and respond to natural disasters. Yang often leaves Iowa audiences with this catchphrase.
The opposite of Donald Trump is an Asian man who likes math. Thank you very much, Iowa.
I'm Olive Gardner.
That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.